Ah, you've come back. I was hoping you would. Last time we spoke, I told you about a girl locked in bronze, a tower built by fear, not love, and a child born of rain and silence. You remember, don't you, Dane? And the baby she cradled in the dark, whispering lullabies even the gods stopped to hear. Perseus. Now, what does a king do when the very thing he feared most is born in his own house? Some face it, some fall to their knees and ask the heavens for mercy. But Acrisius, he chose neither. He chose the sea. They came in the night. I remember the wind, the way it held its breath. Danae didn't scream. She didn't fight. She knew. When you've been locked away long enough, you learn the shape of cruelty before it strikes. They brought her to the shore, the baby asleep in her arms, still warm from the cradle of her body. The chest was waiting, wooden, crude, just large enough for one woman and a child. A coffin, in truth. The king gave no orders to kill her outright. No blood would stain his hands. That was the plan. Let the waves take her. Let the sea decide. He thought it was mercy? Can you imagine it? Standing at the edge of the world, the salt wind in your face, knowing the man who raised you has chosen water over you? Danae stepped inside. She didn't weep. She wrapped her arms around her son, curled her body to shield his, and rested her forehead against the damp planks of the chest. A hand pushed them off. No last words, no farewell. Just the hush of waves, the groan of wood, and the slow retreat of footsteps on sand. And then they were alone, drifting in the darkness. The sea doesn't care who you are, king or beggar, god-born or nameless. It pulls at everyone the same, slow, cold, endless. It does not seek justice. It simply moves. And that's where Danae found herself. No land in sight, no voice but her own, only the creaking wood, the hush of waves, and the faint, warm weight of a sleeping child. I watched her from above. Not as a goddess, no, not then, as something smaller. A presence in the wind, a whisper in the grain of the boards. She didn't pray, not to me, not to any of us, not because she lacked faith, but because she knew how we answer. Instead, she rocked the chest with her body, keeping Perseus close to her breast, humming songs too soft for the sea to hear. Her lips were cracked, her eyes red, but her hands never stopped moving, soothing, checking, sheltering. Hours passed, or days. In that place, time unravels. The sky changed, clouds thickened, sunlight filtered down in strips, and salt crusted in her lashes. Her body stiffened, her breath slowed, and still, still, she did not cry out. I wondered more than once how much one soul can hold before it breaks, and yet she did not break. She whispered to Perseus in that tiny wooden world as if the sea had ears, stories, promises, nothing grand, just words to keep him tethered, words to keep herself tethered. Do you understand? She was unmoored in every sense. From land, from safety, from choice. And yet she endured. She breathed in the sea. Well, the sea listened. He cried for the first time on the third night. I say night. Though, of course, time blurs out there. One long breath of darkness and light. But I remember it as night. The stars were sharp, the sea like ink. And from that tiny chest came a sound that didn't belong in the middle of the world. A baby's cry. Thin, hoarse, ragged with salt. Danae stirred at once. She always did. She pulled him close, her voice cracking as she hummed something that barely passed for melody, her arms a cradle, her body a wall against the cold. But the cry didn't stop. Perseus wailed as if the sea were supposed to answer. And in a way, it did. The wind changed just slightly. A current shifted. A gull cried overhead, just one, and vanished. The chest rocked gently, then steadied. I know, it sounds small, but these things matter. Danae didn't notice the wind, not then. She was too busy surviving, but I noticed. I always do. She whispered to him, forehead pressed to his, promising things she had no power to give. You're safe. I've got you. We'll see land again. He didn't understand. Of course he didn't, but he quieted anyway. Babies know more than we think. They feel things, truths too deep for words, and he felt her, the strength in her arms, the stubbornness in her heartbeat. The sea rocked them like a lullaby, and somewhere below in the old dark currents where forgotten things drift, the ocean listened. Not with kindness, not with judgment, but with attention. And that's more than most kings ever give. It began as a smudge, low, pale, barely more than a wrinkle where sea met sky. Danae didn't notice it at first. Her eyes had grown tired of hoping, but the chest tilted ever so slightly and something in her gut shifted. She opened her eyes. There it was. Land. Seraphos. A small island, tucked between larger ones, the kind of place maps forget to name properly, but it was there, rising from the waves like an offering. Not rescue, just a chance. The chest floated closer, rocked gently by a current it had no right to catch. It bumped against stones, shivered against tide foam, then settled slow and steady into the shallows. Danae didn't move at first. She waited, listening. Waves, birds, no shouting, no soldiers, and then footsteps. Not armored, not rushed. Bare feet on wet sand, a man's voice low and puzzled. What in Hades is this? Dictys, a fisherman. Broad-shouldered, sun-browned, kind in the way of those who live close to salt and wind. He didn't see a prophecy. He saw a woman with seaweed in her hair, clutching a baby with a voice like a storm cloud. And he reached out. I remember the way Danae flinched when the lid creaked open. Her fingers clutched the baby tighter, ready to fall back into the sea if it meant safety. But Dictys knelt beside the chest, careful not to cast a shadow. You're safe now, he said. And, gods forgive me, he meant it. For a time, it was true. They say hospitality is sacred. That the gods walk among mortals in ragged clothes, testing the hearts of those who open their doors. Dictys passed that test without knowing he was being tested. He brought Danae and her child from the shore with the quiet reverence of someone who's pulled too many broken things from the sea. He didn't ask where they came from. He didn't ask why the baby had eyes like hammered silver. He simply offered what he had. A blanket, a bowl of broth, a place to rest. And Danae, she sat on the edge of a stranger's cot, holding her son, and exhaled for the first time in weeks. But of course, Seraphos didn't belong to Dictys. It belonged to his brother, Polydectes. Say it gently, if you say it at all. The name tastes like honey left too long in the sun. Sweet at first, then sharp. He was a king, but not the kind you remember for his courage or wisdom. He was clever, charming, a man who smiled as he counted his enemies and always kept one hand behind his back. When he saw Danae, his expression didn't change. Not at first. He welcomed her, offered protection, said all the right things, but Harmonia knows the sound of intentions settling behind the teeth. There was a moment, small, almost nothing, when his gaze lingered too long. Danae saw it. She lowered her eyes. Not from submission, but from calculation. She had survived a god in the sea. She knew how to read danger dressed in velvet. Polydectes said they could stay, and they did, for now. But even the calmest harbors can hold storms beneath the tide. For a while, there was quiet. Danae learned the rhythm of Seraphos, the hush of waves at dawn, the rattle of nets, the way the island slept with one eye open. Dictys treated her like a sister. Perseus grew stronger, his limbs kicking against the fabric of borrowed blankets, his cries now rich and demanding. Sometimes when no one was watching, Danae would take him down to the rocks. She'd hold him above the tide and whisper, "You were born to survive." And he had. But survival is not a finish line. It's a beginning. I wish I could say they were safe. That this was the end of the fear, the drifting, the weight of other people's choices. But Seraphos, for all its beauty, was not beyond the reach of want. And Polydectes was watching, always watching. He smiled. Yes, he played the part of the generous king, yes, but every kindness he offered was a thread, and threads once knotted are hard to undo. Danae knew. She had learned to listen for the sound of nets being cast, even when they looked like open arms. And Perseus, he would grow beneath that gaze, a child of sea, of sky, of stolen peace. But not for long, because fate, like the sea, never truly stills. Next time, a feast, a game, and the first lie Polydectes tells aloud. Much love. I am. Oh, before you go, one more thing. Traveler, if you enjoyed our time together in the halls of Olympus, there's a gift you can give in return. Just a little thing. Leave a 5-star rating and share this podcast with a friend or whisper it to the wind. The gods love a good rumor. And if you're curious about the mortal world, its twists, its triumphs, its tangled histories, come find me in my other podcast, History's Arrow. There, we follow the path of humanity, one story at a time. Until next time, walk wisely, speak kindly, and never underestimate the power of a good story. Your friend, Harmonia. This podcast sails out to you from Red Buoy Media, LLC. The stories we share are licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, share-alike 4.0 international. That means you can pass them along, remix them, and even argue with them. Just give us credit, don't try to sell them, and share responsibly. Thanks for listening, friend. Until our next adventure.